Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight right here tonight. And hope you'll be able to join in with us and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to have you. You can call toll-free if you're listening. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's good anywhere in Ohio, outside of Ohio. And we'd welcome your call here tonight. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air once more. We do pray that you would bless the program tonight. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And Father, again, if there's somebody that's searching, that maybe some of the things that we talk about would be able to be a blessing and be a help and be an encouragement to them, that we could point people towards Christ. And we just thank you again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's see here. Trying to think what's going on here to talk about tonight. And I had an unusual situation this past week. My wife's grandfather turned 100 years old on Friday. And so we dropped down to Kentucky. They were trying to get all of the his kids, and grandkids, and great-grandkids, and at least one great-great-grandchild that was there running around together. And he had 11 kids and about 28 grandkids and I don't know how many great-grandkids. And what an opportunity to get together, thinking of the legacy that one man could have. And, you know, we have family reunions and we celebrate anniversaries and birthdays and all of these sorts of things. But, you know, the influence and legacy that one individual has in their family is nothing really compared to the influence and legacy that one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has had. And of course, here in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating the events coming up on the revolving around the Passion Week, where we talk about, of course, what happened with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what all that has resulted in, but also the events prior to that took place. When we think of the events leading up to that. And a lot of people look at Jesus' life and they think that that it was a mistake that he died on the cross, that it was a miscalculation in some way on his part. But of course, Jesus came into the world. He was born as a babe in Bethlehem, laid in that manger. And the reason he came into the world was so that he could die on that cross of Calvary. And so I think next week, Lord willing, if all goes according to plan, we might spend a bit of time next week looking at the events of the Passion Week. That's, of course, the week leading up to and including the events revolving around the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so hopefully you'll be able to join us next week for that, and we'll be able to spend some time talking about those issues. But of course, we've got our phone lines open, and if you've got a question about the Bible or a question about current events in light of God's Word, we'd sure love to hear from you tonight, and we'll get you on the air here and talk about that here this evening. Looking at a couple of things happening in the world. And of course, I'm having been traveling here this past week and being down in Kentucky, put me a little behind the loop on some of the news and things that are going on. Certainly the events revolving around the campaigns of the Republican candidates continuing, and the continuing push, as to who's going to be the Republican nomination, and then of course President Obama so far has the Democrat nomination kind of in the bag, I guess you could say, unless something happens at the last minute. I don't think there's any challengers towards him. Though I did hear that a couple of weeks ago, there was somebody, I think it was in Oklahoma, that challenged him and actually won 15 counties on the Democrat ticket. But I don't think he's going to be able to be successful in keeping President Obama from being the Democrat nomination. And as believers, and it comes up every once in a while on the program, you know, how do I know who to vote for as a Christian? Who should I vote for? And we've talked about before, a lot of times it'll come up at the end of the program, and so I want to mention a little bit on it here at the beginning. The Bible talks about us being salt and light in the world, and when you're looking at these issues, and if you're looking at, for instance, the if you're one of the states or one of the areas that has not yet had their primary. Actually, I don't know if any of the states in Ohio, I know Ohio's had theirs. I don't think any of the states around Ohio have yet to have theirs. I think they've all had theirs. But when we think about this, we need to look at what our vote does. And we were talking earlier before the program began about types of governments and about communism and you know, various types of dictatorships and socialistic governments and monarchies. And I was saying that these types of governments are all under the general category of statism, and statism being the idea that the state is in total control of you and your affairs. And this is kind of my political theory. I guess this is Pastor Al political theory here, that when you were in school, we all had kids that we knew in school, in grade school, junior high school, and even into college. There were always these people that wanted to tell you how to do things, what to do, and when to do it. And I think they grew up and they became politicians. And that's what they're trying to do. They want to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and where to do it, and everything. They want to micromanage your life. And as a Bible-believing Christian, I personally don't think that's right. I think that God, not the state, should be the one advising me on how to live my life. And with that in mind, if I'm faced with two candidates, and let's say the presidential election coming up this fall, and I'm looking at one candidate that says, I want to tell you how to run your life, I want to tell you what to do, and I think government should be all about determining everything that you do and how you do it. And you know, and then another candidate is saying, you know, I think that you're an intelligent human being that has some ability about you to make decisions, and hopefully wise decisions, though I recognize you might sometimes make bad decisions. But I believe that with the right opportunities, you can make the right choices and do the right thing. That's probably the guy that I'd want to vote for, because I think that that's kind of more along the lines of what God does with us. You know, God could have organized things where he said, this is what will happen. And he could have made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and instead of giving them the opportunity to make a decision, he could have created them such that they never could make a decision to disobey him. He could have worked events in the Garden of Eden. I mean, he's God. He can do what he wants to do. But God, in Genesis chapter 1, he planted in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He gave man responsibility for the garden there. And in verse 16, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that was the instruction. You say, well, why did God do that? Why did God put that tree there? And the reason is, and this gets into the overall thing with free will versus predetermination of everything, and whether or not God makes everything happen that happens. It's just like we've talked about Calvinism before, and I remember being in a donut shop down in Norton one time, in Norton, Ohio, and a guy came in, dropped his pen on the table and on the counter, and said, "Before the beginning of the world, God foreordained that I would walk in here on this date at this time and drop this pen on the table." And I looked at him and I said, "No, I believe that from the beginning of the world, God foresaw that you would choose to come in here on this day at this time, and that you would choose to drop your pen," and that he didn't like that. I can't remember, this has been a few years ago, whether or not I even said that that God foreknew that you would claim that he forecaused it. It led to a discussion about whether or not God foreknows things because he's determined that he's going to cause them. And see, I have a problem with that. And I'm going to get back here to Genesis in just a moment. But I have a problem with that. And here's my problem. If everything that happens happens because God foreordained it to happen, and man has no free will, then that means that not only did everything good that happens in the world happen because God in the beginning thought out all the good things that would happen and made all the good things happen, but by default, the same logic tells us inescapably that God also planned out all the evil things that would happen in the world, that God thought out every lie that would ever be told, that God planned every murder, every crime, every rape, every beating, every single evil, dirty, filthy, sordid thing that's ever happened, God planned and God instituted. You say, "Well, I don't like to hear that." Well, that's what it says. If you believe that everything is forecaused, and you know, the Bible says God's not the author of confusion, and God is not a man that he can lie. And if God cannot lie, then how is God going to make you lie? How is he going to make me lie? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? But God can foresee, because God's outside of time. I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about this, and I said the reason for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden was to give Adam and then Eve, Eve's created after this, it gave them the opportunity to choose whether they would obey God or not. See, if everything was perfect, if there was no opportunity to disobey God, then God could have asked them to choose to obey them, but really what choice did they have? It'd be like sitting in a room where there's only one door, and I said, you can freely choose which way you want to leave this room. Well, there's only one door. We're assuming you're not going through the windows or breaking through the wall, of course. And so there's only one door. And how much freedom of choice do you really have if there's only one door? Well, the room I'm sitting in right now has two doors. If I got up from where I'm sitting, I could choose freely to exit this room one of those two doors. I have a choice. You've got to at least have two options to have a choice. If there's only one option, well, you're kind of like in the boat where Henry Ford, when he made the Model T, said, "The Model T is available in any color. You can have any color you choose as long as it's black." Well, how much choice did you have in the color of your Model T Ford? As long as it's black, that's the only color they made. You could choose any color as long as it's black, some choice. Well, Adam had a legitimate choice put in front of him, as did Eve. The legitimate choice was, here is a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And he said, you can eat from any of the trees in the garden, but here's one tree in the middle of the garden. This one tree, all I ask is you don't eat from this tree. That's all. That's not a big request. I mean, there's guava trees over there. There's apple trees over there. There's mango trees, peach trees, almond trees, orange trees, any kind of tree imaginable that they could eat from. Except for this one, he said, it's right there, the only one of its kind, don't eat from it. And he said, in the day that you eat from that, thou shalt surely die. Well, God then, we see, creates Eve, and Eve and Adam are brought together, and in light of something that I saw in the news this morning, I would remind you that God created one man and one woman. He created Adam and Eve, not as some people say Adam and Steve or Madam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve, brought them together, and they became husband and wife. He instituted the first institution in the Bible, that's marriage. And marriage as an institution instituted by God, no matter what the politicians say, no matter what the social activists say, no matter what anybody says, the Bible very clearly says right here in Genesis chapter 2 that the very first institution of marriage involved one man and one woman. Now, they were brought together, and in chapter 3, we find the devil in the form of a serpent begins talking to Eve, and he says there at the end of chapter 3 and verse 1, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And what he did here is he began to question God's word. And that tactic worked for the devil back then. It still works for him today, questioning God's word. "Yea, hath God said." And one of the first thing that he did, and it's worked ever since. And he begins talking with her, and they talk about the different trees. And Eve says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Well, he didn't say, "Neither shall ye touch it." He just said, "Not to eat of it, or you'll die." She kind of added in, "lest ye touch it." And that's a danger now of not only the doubt that the devil's sowing, "Yea, hath God said," but now we're adding to God's word. And then, of course, that set up Eve for a fall. She was beguiled, the Bible says, and tricked. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, about verse 3 or so, says that Eve was beguiled. She was tricked into eating the forbidden fruit. It says in verse 4, the serpent, which is the devil, says to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now notice what happened. He tempted her, and she ate the forbidden fruit. Now here's the question. Adam and Eve were in perfect harmony with God. Did they know what good was? Absolutely. They experienced it every day, but they didn't know what evil was. They'd never experienced evil in their life. Well, their life wasn't that long at this time, because shortly after creation, but they never experienced evil. They had no experiential knowledge of evil until Eve disobeyed God and she ate the forbidden fruit. Now, she was tricked into it. God did not hold her responsible, but she gave the fruit to Adam, and the Bible simply says, "and he did eat," which means that Adam was not deceived, he was not tricked, he was not beguiled, he made a choice. He chose to side with Eve. He saw that Eve had disobeyed God, and he chose to side with her, and he disobeyed God. And you say, well, the Bible said they would surely die. They went on to live. The Bible says years after that, they died spiritually right at that moment. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. For the first time, their fellowship with God was broken. They now knew by experience evil, and they hid themselves from God. And that's what we do when we sin, when we disobey God. We hide ourselves from him. They did that. They tried to cover the effects of their sin. They lost the glory that covered them. We don't understand all the details of that, but they lost that. And they saw themselves as naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, which God, of course, later said wasn't good enough. He killed an innocent animal, which established the pattern of the innocent shedding its blood to cover the sins of the guilty. And they hid themselves, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Not that God didn't know where Adam was or what he had done, but he wanted Adam to realize where he was and what he'd done. Well, we're talking about some of these things here with free will and the origin of evil in the world. By one man's sin, the Bible says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And this is why we need a Savior today, because we're descended from Adam. We can talk about this some more, but of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be on till midnight here tonight and give you a chance, ample opportunity to call in here this evening. And of course, remind you that if you have trouble getting us on the air, sometimes the AM signal skips and hops a little bit and you comes in and goes out. You can always tune in to the radio program at whkwradio.com. I believe it is whkradio.com, and it streams live on there. Or if you're listening in the Columbus area, you can go online to freedomfm.org. That's freedomfm.org. For those of you listening on 91.5 Freedom FM, WHKC out of Columbus, and of course, .com is for 1220 listeners here at AM 1220, the Word in Independence, Cleveland, Ohio. Excuse me, my voice is a little froggy here this evening. I think it's all that late night driving here these past couple of days down to Kentucky and back and running around. But again, those phone numbers, 888-677-9673. We're talking here a little bit about the entrance of sin into the world and free will. And see, by having that tree of life there in the Garden of Eden, there was an opportunity for Adam to make a decision. Every time he saw that tree, he could freely make a decision. I will obey God or I will disobey God. It was a choice. It was a choice that was given to him by God so that he could exercise legitimate free will. As I said, you know, like Henry Ford with the Model T, you can have your choice of colors as long as it's black. No choice at all. But Adam was given a legitimate choice to obey or to disobey God. And he made the choice, unfortunately, he made the choice to disobey God. And because of that choice, sin entered into the world. And then, of course, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Adam and Eve, they died spiritually. Remember, we're created in the image of God. And just as God is a three-part being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're also a three-part being. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Genesis chapter 2 describes God creating Adam from the dust of the earth, and that formed his body, which of course corresponds to God the Son, a physical manifestation of God. And then we see he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that of course corresponds to the spirit of a man. In that section there, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, of course, by the Spirit of man, and then he became a living soul, and that's the thinking, emotive part of a man, and the will and all there, and of course, that corresponds to God the Father, and when you understand that, it makes some sense of things where Jesus, God the Son, on earth, said that he was doing that which his Father told him to do, which shows our body ought to be in subjection to our mind, of course, led by the Spirit. We tell our body what to do rather than the other way around. Believe me, this morning, after driving till the wee hours of the morning, getting home late and not getting all that much sleep and being tired, I didn't want to get up this morning and go to church. I thought we had a guest preacher in, and wouldn't it be so nice just to lay back down and go back to sleep? Well, I'd probably still be sleeping right now, but I had to make my body come under subjection to my will. I had to choose to exercise authority over my body, and my body had to be in submission to my mind, my decision, so that I could do the things that God wanted me to do. And that explains a lot about some of the things Jesus said in the Gospels. But getting back to the free will here, because they had that free will, God allowed them to do that. Now, God did not cause Adam to sin. There are some groups out there, the Mormons, for instance, and others, that's the Mormons' first one I can think of, believe that God caused Adam to sin. That was God's will for Adam to sin, and so that he could work this various plans that he had to put in place. But that was not God's will. God's perfect will was that Adam and Eve would choose to obey him and not disobey him. And instead, they chose to disobey. Adam in particular made the choice. Eve was beguiled, the Bible says. And because of that, sin entered into the world. And then the wages of sin is death. And so now we're born with a sin nature. And because we're born with a sin nature, we need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came into the world. Jesus Christ came into the world, the second Adam who came into the world, and he freely chose, and of course this is God's choice because Jesus is God, and God chose to institute this plan of salvation, which involved Jesus Christ going to the cross, where he shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. Well, we're out of time in this segment. Stay tuned for another half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I look forward to hearing from you. If you want to get in the conversation, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air with us here tonight. And also want to let you know, of course, that Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. We certainly invite you to visit us out there. Love to see you, love to meet you. But also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82 in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can get a hold of Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. That'll get you in touch with Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. If you're looking for any unusual gifts or collectibles or antiques of any kind, military antiques or collectibles, old coins, jewelry, furniture, just about anything, let me recommend Frank's Antiques in North Royalton and let them know you heard about it, about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we'll get back to our program here, and again, our telephone number here, toll-free, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you on the program here tonight. That's why we're here, and that's we hope is a service to the listening community to help you. And I want to mention a couple things coming up. We have coming up in... I mentioned in the first half next week, we're hoping to talk about the events of the Passion Week, the events leading up to and including the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what day was Jesus crucified on, and give you a clue. He said he'd be in the ground 3 days and three nights, and take a look at some of the suggested days, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and see which one you can get 3 days and three nights in. Before he's resurrected prior to sunrise on Sunday morning. Give you a little clue on that. But also coming up 3 weeks from tonight, we are going to have a special guest, Tom Wallace. And Tom Wallace is an expert on issues relating to Islam. And we're going to be talking about Chrislam. And we're going to talk about Allah versus Jehovah, and are they the same? Is the God of the Muslims the same as the God of the Bible? And we're going to look at that a little bit. But Tom Wallace has got a website, fortressoffaith.org, I believe it is, fortressoffaith.org, and you can check that out. But we're going to have him on the program with us in 3 weeks' time, so look forward to that. Well, we've got a couple of callers and calls coming in here. Let's see, we've got one question that was posted, and that reminds me, if you don't feel comfortable coming on the air, you can give our call screener your question, and he'll put it up there for me. But we do have John in Cleveland calling, I believe, and John, are you there?
Yes, hello, how are you tonight?
Good evening, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you. You were talking at the beginning of the show about the presidential candidates.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering... Do you feel that Jesus would have been a Democrat or a Republican?
That's a good question. And to some degree, that probably depends on when that was asked. I believe that Jesus would certainly believe, and let's take a couple of issues. I believe that Jesus would fully believe in the sanctity of life, which means that Jesus Christ would be very pro-life. And we're talking about the abortion issue. So my question, I guess I could return it back to you, John, is which party is the stronger pro-life party, the Democrat or the Republican? I think, go ahead. I did ask you a question.
You didn't really answer my
question. No, I'm leading to it. I'm doing it by asking a series of questions. I think that Jesus would be profoundly pro-life in on the abortion issue, that he would be against abortion, he would be pro-life. So first off, which of the two major parties, Democrat or Republican, is more pro-life than the other? Or maybe I should ask it this way, which party is profoundly pro-abortion? The Democrat Party is the abortion rights party. In fact, Dennis Kucinich, and a lot of our listeners here in Northeast Ohio are familiar with that name, he was staunchly pro-life until he began running for president. And in order to try to run for president as a Democrat, he had to become pro-abortion, pro-death. So
when you ask which party is pro-life, I would say neither one.
Well, I said which one is more, and that's why I said which one, I rephrased it and said which one is more pro-abortion, and obviously that's the Democrat. See, the Republicans have people in their party, that they've had people speak at their convention that are both pro-life and pro-abortion. The Democrats will not let a pro-life person speak at their conventions. So on the basis of that, I think that Jesus would not be in the Democrat Party. Let's look at another issue. Which party is more strongly pro-family in terms of what I was saying earlier? The original arrangement of the family was one man, one woman, Adam and Eve. God brought them together and married them as husband and wife. It's the Democrat Party that takes the lead on same-sex marriage. It's the Democrat family that takes the lead on trying to, well, the Obama Justice Department has been instructed by President Obama to not defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And so the Obama administration, which is a Democrat administration, is certainly on the opposite side of where Jesus would be on the marriage issue. So again, that's a strike against the Democrat Party if Jesus was going to be a Republican or a Democrat. We could look
which,
at
which party do you think he would belong to?
Well, in a lot of respects, and I can understand the intellectual, you know, discussion of this. And in some respects, I think he'd be an independent, but I don't think he would be a Democrat. That's for sure. I can rule out Jesus being a Democrat, because the Democrat, as I said, staunchly pro-abortion, and they take the side against the biblical standard of marriage. The Democrat Party is the party that stands for for special rights for homosexuals. The Democrat Party is the party that, on virtually every issue, comes down contrary to what the Bible says. So as a result, I think we could rule out that Jesus would be a member of the Democrat Party. Now, whether or not we could say Jesus would be a member of the Republican Party, that's probably open for debate. I think, personally, Jesus would probably not be a member of either party. But I know, based on God's character and based on the Democrat platform, and this is not just opinion, this is the Democrat platform, Jesus would not be a Democrat.
Well,
as far as you and I go, you know, we have the choice to be a member, Republican, Democrat, or something else entirely. That's going to be your decision. And if somebody is a born-again Christian, they have to rationalize what they believe based on the Word of God with what a party stands for.
I guess I'm wondering, you said that Jesus wouldn't be a part of the Republican Party. I guess if he wouldn't be, I guess I'm wondering why you are.
I said that Jesus would not be a member of the Democrat Party. I said probably Jesus would be an independent. Would Jesus be a member of the Republican Party? I think if Jesus were here today and were told you have to vote for either this Democrat candidate who is pro-abortion and pro-special rights for homosexuals and against the biblical standard of marriage, one man, one woman, or you have to vote for this Republican that is pro-life, pro the Bible position on marriage and believes that homosexuals do not deserve special rights, I think Jesus would vote for the Republican. That's probably a better way to put it as far as that goes. But see, I have a choice, and I choose to make a difference the best that I can. And, you know, ultimately, though, the talk about what party would Jesus be a member of, you know, it's really not a practical discussion because Jesus' purpose was not to come here to elect somebody to public office. Jesus' purpose was to come here to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to pay for your sins and my sins. And so Jesus' purpose today, and if you try to say, well, what party would he become a member of, what
I
we're doing is we're taking...
What party you thought he belonged to?
I don't think he belongs to any party. And he doesn't belong to any party. But what I'm trying to say is that...
Why do you vote for him then?
What?
Why do you vote for the Republicans?
John, I think we're getting off the point here, getting into something that's really not practical. The discussion, what party would Jesus be a member of? I don't think he'd be a member of either party, but I think most certainly he would not be a member of the Democrat Party. But if Jesus had to vote in the election, I suppose he'd probably vote for the Republican that was pro-life, pro-family, and against special rights for homosexuals. So, we can come back to that. The question wasn't what I would vote for. That's between, you know, me and my conscience and God. You started off the question with a false premise just to entrap somebody. And you know, so it's just a game that you're playing. And, you know, rather than play the game, I mean, we'll just move on. But I appreciate the question, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the two parties and to make the larger application of, as a Bible-believing Christian, we should look at these parties and what they stand for, and then when we cast our vote, because we have a responsibility to be salt and light in the world. If I vote for the Democrat candidate, am I advancing the cause of Christ? Or if I vote for the Republican candidate, am I advancing the cause of Christ? And that's my responsibility as a believer. Of course, that gets away from the original premise, but appreciate the question. If you've got a question for us tonight, you're welcome to give us a call to 888-677-9673. And as the last call illustrates, we'll talk about just about anything and everything on here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you know, we'll gladly take your call. And that's 888-677-9673. We have another caller waiting, plus a question that was posted. And let's see if I can hit the question real quick. The question here, the theories of where the Ark of the Covenant is kept. And the idea there, some people have speculated that it was in Ethiopia. Some people speculate that it's hidden under the Temple Mount. Some people have speculated that perhaps it returned back to Israel when there was an airlift of Ethiopian Jews back in, I believe it was in the 80s, if I remember correctly. And then there's another camp that believes that God actually removed the Ark of the Covenant into heaven, and at the proper moment when the third temple is rebuilt, that God will bring the ark back and place it in the temple. And that's one possibility there. As far as where it is, I don't know that we're going to find that out until it shows up. Chances are there's somebody in the world right now. Assuming the ark is somewhere in the world, chances are there's somebody in the world right now who knows where it is. It may be in Israel right now. It may be in Jerusalem right now. It may be in another location right now. When the time comes, though, I'm confident that the Ark of the Covenant will turn up, and it will be placed there in the rebuilt temple there in Jerusalem. So, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see where the Ark of the Covenant has been hiding all these years. But that's a good question, and if you've got a question or something about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And we have, I believe, waiting, we have Grover on the line. And Grover, are you there?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Hey, good evening. Welcome.
Pretty busy.
Welcome. Good to hear from you tonight. I apologize. My voice is a little froggy tonight.
That was very interesting. I heard you talking about the homosexual, the sodomites. Ken and I, you know Ken.
Yes.
He and I, we thought we had some backers. You know, being, I don't know if you heard what happened down on down by City Hall on the 24th.
That's what I was mentioning. I turned the television on as I was getting ready for church this morning to see what the weather was going to be like today. And they had a thing they were showing.
Yeah, and 200 gay preachers. They were performing weddings now.
Yes. So, now, they were not real weddings in the sense that they were official. Yeah.
They were performing it. So Ken and I, we figured that we'd have a little Christians backing us up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, me and him goes down with a fire sword in our hand. It's the Word of God. We're going to pass out literature. They had me blocked off. So, man, see, the First Amendment says that we can walk the sidewalk. That's public.
Right.
We was over there. We was all right. We're passing out literature. We got some response. All at once, here comes the cops. They told me in Kansas, you have no right to be here. Ken and I said, hey, the Constitution says that we have a right. He said, you come on. He was a smart lieutenant. I think he was the devil's brother. He takes us over at the other end. Yeah, and Ken and I are talking. He says, okay. Poor Ken, that's to say, about 3 weeks ago that he was in jail for the pro-life thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this lieutenant takes us over. They had a couple of cops that I knew, and he took me to the side. But he told Ken, he says, get out of here. He said, Ken says, what about the First Amendment? This lieutenant says, hey, I don't believe in that First Amendment. Ken says, what? How can you not believe it? You took an oath. He said, I didn't take the DAM oath. He says, I don't believe it. He says, he says, America's going to hell. He says, I hope it goes straight to hell.
Well, you know, Grover, and let me interrupt here a second here with your talking about that. I want to point out something based on what you were saying. You know, the sad thing is, a lot of our police officers, they really aren't aware of what the law is. And sometimes they're doing what they're told, but I think sometimes you get to some of these officers that they believe in this cause themselves, and they, in a sense, they're abusing their authority. And, you know, there's some groups out there like the Rutherford, what is that Rutherford Fund, and
the First Amendment.
Yeah, there's some groups out there that you might want to get in touch with because
I'm getting in touch.
Yeah, because
I'm getting in touch with Frank White, Jackson.
Yeah, and
I know Frank Jackson. He and I are friends. Okay.
And let me just add here, for a police officer to say that he doesn't care and that he didn't take an oath. Now, police officers are sworn in.
We know that's a lie.
Yeah, they're sworn in.
Because when you become a police officer, you take the oath like a doctor does.
Right. You're sworn in, and you're sworn to uphold the law. That's an oath that you take as a police officer. Just like when somebody comes in the military, you're sworn in. You take an oath to uphold, defend the Constitution. Just like when you become a mayor or a council member or even a president, you're taking an oath to uphold the laws and the Constitution of the country. And the sad fact of the matter is today we live in a day when from the president on down to the police officer on the street, People don't believe in those, upholding those oaths. They don't believe that they're bound by those oaths.
Well, I'm not going to hold you up, but here's the thing. I'm going to tell you. What disappointed me even more is seeing all of those homosexuals going through something like that is there was no Christians down there. Where was it? Ken and I were left in the dark. And a lot of people knew about it. We had nobody at Cleveland Baptist. I didn't see.
I didn't know about it until I turned on the television this morning. And
Ken and I are willing to go to jail.
Yeah, well, and, you know, thank God there's people out there who take a stand, and God certainly leads people into some of these ministries to make a stand, call attention, because think about it this way, Grover. Those people, admittedly, from what they said on the news report, did that to get people's attention. So if they were doing that to get people's attention, then it ought to have been your right to get people's attention as well.
But here's what burned us up. Guess what was flying over City Hall?
Probably a rainbow flag.
No, the sodomy flag.
Yeah, that's the rainbow flag.
They took the Ohio flag down, and they put that in the place of it.
Well, Grover, you know, I hope that you're able to take this and be able to. I'm gonna have to be letting you go here because I got a couple things I got to say yet. But I'm glad you told us this, and hopefully people out there pray for you guys and pray for this situation. And I appreciate that call there, Grover, and the information about that. I'm glad that you and Ken were there, and I hope that you'll lodge a protest over this, because a sad thing, you know, we have people who, you know, police officers who just don't know what the Constitution says. They don't know what civil rights you have are, and there's civil servants. There's representatives. There's council members. There's mayors. There's even governors and presidents who really don't know some of what's in the Constitution. And I see this all the time. People don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand the freedom of speech and why it's in there, or the freedom of religion, why it's in there. They don't understand these things. And you know, it's a part of our job, and part of what we hope to accomplish through this is to help alert people with that, because as Christians, we do have rights. And Grover had the right to be on a public sidewalk. But something else I wanted to point out with that story here before we run out of time tonight, and of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I got just a minute. I don't know that you can get in, but 888-677-9673. This is something I've always wondered about, and I'm sure Grover and Ken saw this while they were there. I saw this on the news, and it never ceases to amaze me that you'll have people that say, well, we're not attracted to the opposite sex. Why is it that so many of those couples, for instance, there were two women, that the one woman was dressed very feminine, and the other woman was dressed very masculine, haircut like a guy and everything like that, and yet saying that they don't like men. In a sense, it's a mockery, and Romans talks about that, Romans chapter 1, and I know we're running out of time here, I hear the music, but the Bible says that they gave up, or God gave up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of error which was met. Well, we're out of time, and join us again next week, another edition of Late Night
You've
Live.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us.
The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.